hang on to that thought, trust in Jesus, because we're going to get around to that here in a minute, trust in Jesus. But we're going to look tonight in Psalm 22, so if you got your Bible with you, and I hope you do, turn over to Psalm 22. We need to be in prayer, continue to pray for the pastor and all the folks that's gone on the out on the mission trip. Pray for their safety. Pray that God will bless them and bless the people that they get an opportunity to speak with. Continue to pray for a church. Pray one for another. Keep hearing on the news that there's another round of COVID coming through the, what is that, the Delta variant, whatever it is. So need to be in prayer about that. Got lots to pray about. Need to pray one for another. Lift each other up in prayer. So even before we get started tonight, let's just approach God's throne in prayer. Father, we can't approach your throne in prayer without saying thank you. We could thank you from now to eternity and it wouldn't be near enough. We do say thank you tonight, Lord. Just thank you for loving us. Thank you for being that great and mighty God that you are, that you loved us before we even gave you a second thought. We just thank you for that. And Lord, we do pray for this church. We pray, Father, that you continue to be here, continue to lead and guide, be with the leaders of the church, give them the wisdom, the knowledge that they need to lead this church in the direction that you'd have it to go. I pray, Father, that all of us as members would get on board and support the leadership and support your wishes in this church. And Father, we do pray for those that are on the mission field tonight. We pray, Father, that you'd bless each and every one. Pray, Father, that you would prepare hearts as they spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, that their word would not fall on stony ground. And Lord, we pray that you'd keep them safe, help them to return home safely. We pray that you'd be with this service tonight, be with the reading of your word. Pray, Father, that we do the things that be pleasing to you, because we prayed it in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Before we get started reading tonight, I've got some questions for you. I've got a little quiz. Now, I knew that I would be amongst a lot of very intelligent and smart people, so I tried really hard to dig up some good questions. I tried them out on Debbie and my granddaughter, and they got a few of them. So we'll see how you guys do. So question number one, how do you put a giraffe in the refrigerator? Well, you just open the door on the refrigerator and put the giraffe in, close the door. Pretty simple. Y'all didn't do too good on that one. Maybe you do better on the next one. How do you put an elephant into the refrigerator? Well, that's close. You open the door and you take the giraffe out and you put the elephant in and you close the door. So you're warming up. You're doing better. Next question. The Lion King is hosting an animal convention and all the animals attend except one. Which one does not attend? The elephant. You just put him in the refrigerator. Last question, y'all got to get with it. There's a river that you must cross, but it is used by crocodiles and you don't have a boat. How do you get across? Come on, Scott. You jump in and swim. All the alligators or the crocodiles are over at the animal conference. Folks, I did that just to show that life is full of questions, and some of the questions are are difficult. Some of them are silly. But some questions are very, very hard. And as pastors and preachers, we hear a lot of difficult questions. And most of those questions start with the word, why? Why? Why did she have to get sick? Why did he have to die? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? A lot of difficult questions. Why does life have to be so painful sometimes? There's just a lot of difficult questions that's asked. And I'll be honest with you, preachers and pastors don't have all the answers. But if you're one of those that have asked the question why in the past, or maybe even now today, you're asking the question why. And maybe because you ask the question why, maybe you're also even concerned that maybe you're not as strong in your faith as you should be, or maybe there's something wrong. I want to encourage you tonight to not have that attitude, because I wrote down a few of the people in the Bible that in times past, they have even asked the question why. Moses asked, why have you dealt ill with your servant? Asking that question to God. He asked that question over in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 11. Even David, and we're going to dig a little bit more deeper into David tonight in Psalms 22, but even David said at one time, O Lord, why do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? He asked that question in Psalm 10, verse 1. Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets, asked the question, why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Habakkuk asked that question in Habakkuk 1 and 3. Even Job, who God called a righteous man, asked God, why have you made me your target? He asked that question over in Job chapter 7 and verse 20. The disciples asked Jesus one day, why was this man born blind? And they asked that question over in John 9 and 2. Jesus Christ himself asked God one day when he was hanging on a rugged cross. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he asked that question over in Matthew 27 and 46. So if you have asked that question in the past, or maybe you're even going through that right now, maybe you're asking the question why, maybe there's some things going on in your life and it's made you ask God why. God don't mind us asking why, as long as we do it in a humble way and not a prideful way. God don't mind you and I asking why, because you can see how many of the great biblical characters, even at one time, asked God why. As a matter of fact, Jesus told us over in John 16 and 33, Jesus said, in the world, you will have trouble. So we're going to face trouble from time to time. And sometimes that trouble is so rough, or maybe puts so much pressure, stress, strain on us that maybe we would ask why. Also over in Matthew 5 and 45, when Jesus was given the great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, God makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and it rains on the just and the unjust. So as long as we're living in this world, we've got to put up with the heartache and the pain that goes along with this world. So Jesus tells us that there's going to be days like that, that we're going to have times like that in our lives. I've went through times like that in my life. I'm sure you've went through times like that in your life. Just in my life alone, I've went through the death of my dad, my mom, my father-in-law, my grandparents, even little granddaughter, little Claire Ann. She lived 12 days. The doctor said she'd only live 2 hours. She lived 12 days. Sometimes we go through some very difficult things in life. I remember when the doctor told me after I'd had a MRI, the doctor said, "We've set you up for surgery. You need to get in surgery immediately. You need to go see this surgeon. Your appendix, we're sure that it's got a mass on it, and we're pretty sure it's cancer." That'll get your attention. Thank God that when they took my appendix out, it was not cancer. Yes, praise God. Just about, I guess it was 3 weeks ago tonight. Some of you were here. Some of you may remember. Brother Kevin was preaching a message. And during that message, he quoted over in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. "All things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose." All things work together for good. All things. All means all. And Debbie and I sit here in this congregation as we listened to that message, as we left and we went out into the parking lot, and I was talking to Kevin out there in the parking lot. Debbie got a phone call or a text? Debbie got a text. And that very minute we found out that our youngest daughter has breast cancer. And it was devastating to hear that news. Devastating. And as we were standing there, I reminded Debbie and myself, we just heard a message that says, all things work together for good for those that love God. But thank God that she does have cancer, but all the test results as they come back, they think that it's all localized, it is not metastasized, she went through the genetic testing and it's not genetic. She just happened to be one of the one out of every 8 ladies that get breast cancer. Ladies, make sure you all get your yearly testing done. But even my daughter, I went with her, I guess, a week ago tomorrow, I guess it was, when I went to one of the tests with her. She had to go have one done, and I went to the doctor with her, and as we were riding to the doctor, I was talking to her about why she was concerned. Why her? Why? So all of us, from time to time, go through that. But now, even I think my daughter told Debbie yesterday or the day before that she just feels that our family, her and our whole family, are going to be closer to each other and closer to God because of this. Amen. So God don't mind you asking why, as long as you do it in a humbled manner. When you're broken, God don't mind you asking why. And Jesus himself has told us that there's going to be days like that. As a matter of fact, Matthew 5:45, Jesus tells us that as long as we're here in this world, bad things are going to happen to bad people, and bad things are going to happen to good people, because that's the world that we live in. Because of what happened back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, and all the sin came into the world, well, all these diseases and different things that affect us on a daily basis came in the world right along with it. So that Jesus told us that there's going to be things like that happen. But there's a difference between those that are unsaved and those that are saved. We do have the Lord Jesus Christ to call on, and we need to trust in him that he is going to take care of what is going on in our lives. As a matter of fact, that's why I want to look in the book of Psalm 22. We're going to go through that psalm. I'm not going to dilly-dally around. I'm going to try to get through it. But I want you to see that it even happens to people like David. King David, the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. God had chosen him specifically to be the king of Israel. But even King David had times when he asked why. Look what the Bible says there in Psalm 22. Now this is David there. In Psalm 22 and verse 1 it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We've heard that before, haven't we? Jesus said that on the cross. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. King David right there thinks that God is so far away from him that God does not hear him. And King David is asking the question, why? Why? But then King David goes on into verse 3 and he says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou did deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. Folks, as we go through this psalm, I want us to see exactly what King David did. He was being pursued, and we'll see more about it here in just a minute. He was being pursued by his enemies. And he felt lower than a wagon rut. He was down. He was discouraged. He was depressed. He thought God had left him. But then he started drawing from his childhood. When he looked back at his mom and his dad and all the other relatives and all of Israel, how that they always trusted in God. They trusted God. God brought them through so many things. Freedom from captivity. Brought them out into the land of Canaan because they trusted in God. But as we see in verse 6, he starts going back into his depression, his pity party, so to speak. He says in verse 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh and laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lips. They shake the head saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. See, he pulled his focus off of God again and put it back on what he thought people were going to think of him. Folks, let me tell you this. Of course, the Bible tells us that a good reputation is worth more than silver and gold. But sometimes when people start talking and maybe gossiping and not letting the truth stand in the way of what they're saying, sometimes it might hurt your reputation. But let me tell you this. It's really none of our business what other people think about us. Our only purpose in this world is to continue to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ and to look up towards him and continue to serve him, continue to follow after him. But when we allow ourselves to pull our focus off of God and put it on here, what people are saying, we do the same thing that David did. We start focusing on people instead of focusing on God, and then we start saying, woe is me. He said right there in verse 6, he wasn't even nothing but a worm. He wasn't even a man because he pulled his focus off of God and put his focus back on the world. Let's go on. Verse 9, he says, "But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly." In other words, he recognized again, as he took his eyes back off of the world and started focusing back on God, he started realizing that God had protected him from the very beginning, that God was always there. Then he goes on in verse 11 and he says, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around." In other words, he's talking about all of his enemies. They're all around him. The enemies are after him. "They gabbed me up. They gabbed upon me with their mouths as a ravaging and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death." Whew. Boy, he sounds like he's pretty low right there, don't he? He sounds like he just can't take another step. He sounds like life is just about to drain out of him. He goes on to say in verse 16, "For dogs have compassed me." And when he says dogs, he's talking about the priest and the scribes and the Pharisees. And everybody's after him. Then he goes on to say, "The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Where else have we heard that? Jesus got his hands and feet pierced. Now, this is probably 1,000 years before Jesus Christ. So some of the things we see in this psalm right here is a prophecy about Jesus Christ. He goes on in verse 17 and he said, "I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." We've heard that before, haven't we? We can see again how David is battling. He is really struggling. He's down. He's asking God why. Then he's saying, "Oh, wait a minute, though. I remember that all my parents and all my forefathers, they trusted in God." But then he starts looking back at the world. "Oh, but look what they're saying about me. I trusted in God, and he has left me." But now he's saying, "Oh, they're after me. They're going to get me." He's looking back to the world. He's really struggling. Every once in a while, he'll look up, but then he'll let the world get back a hold of him. Then he starts looking back towards God. Let's see what he says down here in verse 19. "But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Yea, that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel. For he has not despised nor adored the affliction of the afflicted. Neither has he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him." He is praying back to God. He is praising God in his prayer. So now he's just on a roller coaster ride. But now he's getting serious. He's bowed his head before Almighty God, and he has started praying to God, and he's lifting up his voice to the Lord. And he goes on in verse 26, And he says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Jesus Christ said the same thing over in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. When he was given the great Sermon on the Mount, you need to go over there and read it sometime. It starts in Matthew chapter 5, goes all the way through to Matthew chapter 7. But Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. King David said, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. Then he goes on in verse 27, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindred of nations shall worship before thee. David is about to get the grasp of what he needs to be doing. He has been on a roller coaster ride. He started out in this psalm right here. He's asking God why. Folks, I'm sure that most of us in this room at one point in time has had things happen to us in life that made us just sit down and say, why? Why, Lord? I'm going to say this, if you haven't, you probably will sometime in this life. Probably will. Hopefully this will help you right here. Because David, I've said this many, many times in my ministry, and I'm going to say it again tonight. People are just people. It don't matter whether it's us in the 21st century, whether it was King David back thousands of years ago, people are just people. We all have our downfalls. We can see in this psalm right here that King David was probably acting and doing exactly the same thing that we would do today in the 21st century. He's on a roller coaster ride. Why, Lord, why? Then when he gets through with his pity party, he raises his head up for just a minute and starts saying, well, we trusted in you before. I can trust in you again. Then he goes back down and starts looking at the things that he just continues that cycle until he finally gets serious right here. And he gets down on his knees and he cries out to Almighty God. And he starts praying to God and he starts praising God and worshiping God. And he knows that God will take care of him. And folks, that is the main theme of what I wanted to get across tonight. All of us go through those difficult times. Things that affect me, you may just go through it in a breeze. You may be struggling with something that'll never affect me. I'm struggling with things that maybe will never affect you. Maybe several of us are struggling with the same thing. But the point is, as we go through this life, we have got to live in the same world as everybody else. We've got to go through some of the same struggles, the same diseases, all because of the things that happened back at the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve brought sin into this world, it affects us all. There's going to be times in our lives that's going to make us question why. And as long as we're doing it out of a humble heart and crying out to God, and what we need to learn, the quicker we take our eyes off of whatever it is that's causing us to ask why, the quicker we can get our eyes off of that and get our eyes back on God, the quicker we're going to realize that God has got his hand on us. I remember the time that they told me that they had to get my appendix out because they were pretty sure that it was cancerous. I remember before I went to the hospital, I was on my tractor out there fooling with the cows, and I said, Lord, if this is your will, you give me the ability and the courage and the strength to continue to give it to you. Amen. And you know, from that point forward, I never worried about it again. The same thing with my daughter with cancer. I said, Lord, you be with that little girl. Of course, she's 42, but she's still my little girl. Scott, when your little girl grows up, if you live till she's 50, she's still going to be your little girl.
Amen.
I said, Lord, you take care of that little girl. Because you can be with her every step, and I can't.
Amen.
You take care of her. And that's exactly what I look to happen, is God is going to take care of her every step of the way. So far, every single test that's come back is encouraging. And the doctors are telling her, if you got to have cancer, this is the best kind to have. So we are being positive that God is going to get glorified. Even when my little granddaughter, 12 days old, when she passed away, God got glory. Because when she was there and we were at her funeral, it was down at Williamson's. I'm good friends with Gabby. I've known Gabby for years. Gabby Williamson. Gabby and I have been out to Colorado deer hunting and elk hunting together. I know Gabby real well. He's a good friend of mine. Gabby told me this. That's one thing that I really appreciate those guys for. If there's a little child that passes away, they take care of the whole funeral and they will not charge you a nickel. Gabby and Chuck were taking care of that funeral service, and it wasn't even advertised in the paper or anywhere. And Gabby said he could not believe that there was so many people there. There was hundreds of people there. And I know for a fact there were lost souls in that funeral service. And the preacher that brought that message gave the message of salvation. So I know, because of little Claire, there were people that heard about Jesus Christ and they heard how they could be saved. And if they walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ, it was on them. It wasn't on her. So even because of that, people got to hear about Jesus Christ. So folks, whatever is going on in your life, always remember that all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. No matter what's going on in your life, God can use it for good. But we have got to stay focused on the Lord. Because when we pull our eyes off of God and start putting it on our problems and putting it on the world, we'll be just like King David. I promise you, we'll be just like him. We'll start getting depressed and down, and we'll start getting weak in our faith. And we need to trust in Jesus. Just like the guy with the sign that stands on the side of the road, just like Scott was saying that God put that song on his heart tonight, we need to trust Jesus no matter what's going on in our lives. That's all I got tonight, brother.